Well, good morning and greetings to each one of you in our Savior's name. And we are thankful to be together around God's Word. And we have a special morning this morning, just reading Scripture. So let's start in the book of Psalms. And let's read Psalm 121, a beautiful psalm. Let's read that together to begin our service, our worship service, our teaching service, and then we'll go to Ephesians 6 for a walkthrough. Psalm 121, great place to start. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Let's sing a hymn together. Let's sing hymn 157, As Pants the Heart, hymn number 157.
Lord, have wish and bring me downward. Can I
Let's kneel and pray together. Lord, we just humble ourselves before Thee, and Lord, we are thankful to come together in prayer. And Lord, we're thankful for this assembly, even this morning, Lord, that together we can magnify the Lord together and exalt His name together. And Father, that's our desire, just to exalt Thee as the God of gods and the Lord of lords and the King of kings and our Creator. And Father, we desire to worship and bow down before Thee and just to sing Thy praise. And Father, to lift up our eyes to the hills from whence cometh our help. And we know our help cometh from the Lord. So Lord, we come to Thee this morning in prayer, asking Thee to direct us, direct our morning. We confess, Lord, that many times our ways are not Thy ways and our thoughts are not Thy thoughts. But Lord, today we want to squeeze and conform our mind to Thy teaching and to Thy word. And we're so thankful for Thy word, for the Psalms where we can read to worship Thee and praise Thee, and then the Ephesians and anywhere really in the New Testament, but especially today in the book of Ephesians 6:10-24, what a awesome section of Scripture, Lord, given to us for our guidance, knowing that man shall not live by bread alone, but we're going to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So, Lord, illuminate Thy word to us this morning. Make it sharp, powerful to us this morning. Help us to be alert, Lord, we just pray. Give us a spiritual alertness, Lord, to Thy word. Give us a hunger and thirst for Thy truth. And God, we ask for Thy blessing, and we pray that Thou wouldst deliver us from evil. We know that the evil one is all around us. The evil one has come to even destroy us and accuse us in our own hearts, Lord. And we want to put on the whole armor of God. We want to be strong, therefore, in the power of the Lord and in His might. Lord, we want to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles and the trickery of the devil. So, Lord, grant us that grace to do that. We commit this time to Thee in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you. Okay, let's turn to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 6. And let's start reading at verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, let's start at verse 10. What a blessed group this morning. I love the time we have together this morning. Love the fact that we have visitors today. We have many from our home church that are here. And then now we can pause and look to Scripture. And we're gonna read verses 10 to 24 and consider this passage. And you know, I don't know if you have different ways to approach Scripture, but I'm just going to suggest that this morning that this is an important word to you this morning. This time is an important time, and some of the things that Scripture will teach today, they're very necessary. It's a necessary part of our Christian walk. Today is a time to be alert. Now, my watch says it's 10:12. So we just got a short period of time. We got a little window of opportunity right now, and I would love to capitalize on it as much as we can, because I'm guarantee you, as I've considered this passage, there are some truths in here that'll affect this church. And what does Ephesians 4 say? He's given to some apostles and some prophets. He gave to some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And why does he give them? For the perfecting of the saints. Number one, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, so we can be involved in the ministry, the work of the ministry, and for the unifying the body of Christ. That's the three purposes. Ephesians talks about that, and there's some great, great truths that relate to that, and they're important. Let's read it together, starting in verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching there unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that herein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brother and a faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus in sincerity. Amen. It's a exciting part of Scripture. It is kind of an exciting end, you know. And we start, finally, my brethren, and you know, we think about that. Finally, my brethren, what is it? You know, and as we read about warfare, as we read about this Scripture, to me, it's like, you know, I don't know what communicates to you. It's kind of like. I taught for 40 years. I taught the young kids, and I like to bring the young kids together. And I've used that illustration before. Together around the carpet, and we sit down and we learn. Well, today I have a different feel. Today it's like getting the soldiers together. We're getting the soldiers together this morning, and we're going to get in a huddle. I don't know. How do soldiers get together? I don't know. I don't know. Do they get in a huddle? And do they get instructions, and then they're going to go to war? It's time to go to war. I mean, that's what the passage is about. It's about, you know, getting the brethren. I think Paul was saying, let's get the brethren together. And if I was Stonewall Jackson, I think I'd get the troops together and I'd rally the troops, because we've got a battle going on today. Finally, my brethren, get the brethren together. And Paul loved the brethren. You know, and you know, I thank God that for each one of you, You know, that in love we can get together and we're going to go to battle. And we'll talk about what we're going to put on and as far as the equipment and what we need to go to battle. So the brethren are going to get together. And look at verse 10. Finally, my brethren. And I think this is a key. There are several key points here. But this is a key point. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You know, I mean, as Paul started this, he said, hey, consider, would you stop and just consider the power of the Lord? Now, what comes to your mind when you stop and consider the power of the Lord? What is something that comes to your mind? Well, I think one of the greatest evidences is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I mean, the power of his resurrection. The scripture talks about that all the time. The power of his resurrection. They may know him and the power of his resurrection. I wonder if I could do that. Could I? Do I have enough power to raise Jesus from the dead? No. Do you have enough power to raise Jesus from the dead? Do you have enough power to stop the waves? You're out in the boat. You're in Minnesota. I just remember when I'm visiting Minnesota and they had the land of the lakes, and we were in a boat and we were coming back and this storm blew up and we were just bouncing in this little boat, bouncing. And could I say, waves, be still? No, I couldn't do that. But Jesus could. Could I heal somebody that was blind? You see somebody that's blind. Would you be able to heal them? No, but you think of that power. You think of the power of the resurrection. You think of the power that's able to still the storm. You think of the power that's able to heal the blind. You think of the power that's able to make the lame man walk. I mean, you think about that. Think about that. This is where Paul starts. The power of his might. It's the power of his might. You think of raising Lazarus from the dead. I mean, as you think of the miracles of Christ, it's just... You think of curing the demonics. I mean, think about that. The power that that takes. Or you think about the power of creation. Unbelievable. You think about trying to make... I don't know why I'd like this little girl over here. I shouldn't pick on her. I could pick over here. But this the little girl over here. I mean, think of that little girl. And she doesn't even know what I'm talking about, right? It's fine. But isn't that amazing? Could you create a little girl? Could you create a little a human? I mean, think of the power of that. I mean, our little children are so special. Let's see. We're babysitting Adelaide this weekend. Is she in here? Okay. I mean, just a precious little package. Incredible. Unbelievable. It's that power. And those are just a few things. I love to think of the sun. I mean, you try to create a sun that'll shine and 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 shine. Eventually it'll go out. What do they say? 5 billion years it's going to quit burning. Wow. So anyway, we start there with the power. And I'm encouraged with that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and be in the power of his might. And that's such a word of encouragement. Yeah, think about the power of his might. And he's our captain. So he's going to rally us together. Look at verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, if you look down to 13, let's look at the word stand first. In verse 11, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And then also in verse 13, take the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. And then verse 14, stand therefore. I love that word. And before we talk about the armor of God, let's talk a little bit about standing. And, I'm looking for anybody that's elderly in this room this morning. Let me see if there's any elderly people this morning. I don't see anybody. Nope. I'm looking. A few are getting close, but there are no elderly people in this room. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But, you know, think of an elderly person. And you think of standing. And you think of... you may be in a hospital bed. You know, have you visited people that are in a hospital bed? They're lying down, but you know what? They're standing with the Lord. They may be in a nursing home, and they're lying down, but you know what? They're standing with the Lord. And I it's hard to finish strong in the Christian life. It's hard to persevere in the Christian life. It's hard to go long-term in the Christian life. You know, we went to Tyler's grandma's visitation, and I grew up with Sister Marilyn Kipfer. Grew up with her. I mean, she lived in the area. And I think of that generation. I think of Greg's mom and dad. I think of those people that I grew up with that were my parents' age. I think of my mom and dad. I think of Edie's mom and dad. And I think of these people. And look what verse 13 says. And having done all, life is over. We've done it all. What are they doing? They're standing. I love that. You know, are they perfect? No. I think of going visiting the visitation to Arlen's mom. I mean, Arlen's mom. And seeing her there. I mean, she is going to be with the Lord, but they stand right up to the end. They stand in faith. I love that. Having done all, they're still standing. I think of Edie's father, you know, as he was going through the valley of the shadow of death. Was he lying down? No, he was standing for the Lord, having done all to stand. I think of my dad as he went through that. Did he have struggles? Absolutely. Did he? Yeah, he did. I mean, he had struggles, but he kept battling and battling and battling. And when it was all over, having done all, he was standing with the Lord. And I love that idea. And I think of Stonewall Jackson. In fact, they nicknamed him. I don't know how my dad got the nickname Stonewall Jackson. But they called him Stonewall. And I never asked the question. I want to ask it now. Why did they call you Stonewall, Dad? I never asked him that. I'm going to have to ask my brother Phil. He's the historian in the family. Why did they call Dad Stonewall? Now, I've got a few guesses. But I kind of like the story of Stonewall. He would take his troops out, and he would, you know, he would go out to battle, and he was talking to him. One time, I love this story. He was talking to him. He had his hands up. He says, "Men, we got to keep moving." And a bullet went right through his hand. And he didn't move. He kept talking with the blood running down his hand. He kept his hand up. He says, "Men, we got to keep fighting." You know, and he just encouraged, and he kept standing. And then when he was done, he took his hand down, and he took care of his hand. And then remember, I know, what was the battle? The Bull Run, the Battle of Bull Run, when the Confederate soldiers were starting to retreat and so on. And they looked over and they saw Stonewall. He was standing there like a stone wall. And they rallied their troops. They said, "Men, let's stand. Let's stand like Stonewall. He's not moving." And I love that idea. You know, and that's, I really feel like we are blessed. Our church is blessed with a culture of godly men and women that stand. Having done all, they stand. They stand with the Lord. They keep going. I, I love that. And someday when I get old, and when, you know, our brothers here get old, you know, when we get old, we want to stand, don't we, brothers? Absolutely. Amen. And sisters, too. We want to stand. Having done all, stand. I love that. And put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And you know, the devil's, that's who we fight against. The wiles of the devil. I think the wily old fox, you know, that wily old devil is battling us. Look at verse 12. Another important point. This is really important. We wrestle, look what it says in verse 12. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the ruler of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. I think about the time we went to Newcastle Prison, and I looked out, and there was a man, his whole face was covered with tattoos. And I looked at him, and I go, oh boy, I don't think I'd like to meet him in a dark alley. I mean, that was just my impression. Or, I mean, that was one time. Or sometimes you see these, like, what is it? The M13 gang members or something. Sometimes you see these drug cartels. You see pictures of them, and they just are scary. But you know what? I connect them to this verse. You know, we do not wrestle against them. It's not a fight against them. It's not like us against them. It's us against the principalities. It's us against powers. It's us against the rulers of darkness of this world. I even see some political leaders sometimes. You've seen some political leaders, they get that evil look in their eye. I don't know if you've ever seen that. But you know what? We do not wrestle against them. We do not wrestle against the person. We wrestle against Satan and Satan's army. That's where the battle is. And if we can keep that verse in mind, that concept, if you see somebody like that, I hope this verse just comes back to you. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. In the other verse that comes to my mind, I think of two verses. I think of this verse, and I think about John 3:16. For God so loved the world. You know, God loves that person with the tattoos all over their face. God loves those M13 gang members. God loves the world. For God so loved the world. He loves those people. And to remember that just helps me. That we're not fighting the person. We're fighting the evil. And Satan and the prince of the world. The prince of darkness. Okay, let's look at the armor of God. Now, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, stand. Stand therefore, start at verse 14, it goes into the armor of God. And where was Paul at this time? In a prison, wasn't he? I love Paul. He's in a prison. And he's, what do you do in a prison? Not too much. Sit there. I don't know. I've never visited a prison other than to visit. I've never been a person incarcerated. But if I was incarcerated, I think I would just probably, I don't know, what would you do? And you might be locked to a Roman soldier. Here's Paul. He says, I need to write the Ephesians. So he starts writing the Ephesians. And then he looks over at the soldier. He goes, wow, that guy's pretty tough. Look at this soldier. And you know, he's already witnessed to the soldier. You know that. He's already told the soldier about Jesus. I know he did. Well, we'll find that out. I mean, we read about it, but we'll not talk about it quite yet. So he looks at that soldier and he says, huh, you know what? I can write in the book of Ephesians a connection between this soldier and the battle. And he said, yes. And he guess what does he look at first? He looks at his belt. I wore a belt this morning. It's a reversible belt. Very practical. You can wear it with brown or black. You just flip it around. It's a Dockers belt. Edie got it for me for a gift. And I was a little disappointed. What am I doing this for? Who cares about a Docker belt? But listen, it's the first thing you put on. Dockers belts are important. You know, I'm reminded of the time at recess out at school. This little boy, and none of his fault, not a fault of his own. This little boy had his pants were too big. Sometimes kids come to school, they just, maybe their right size is not washed and they got to put on the bigger size, their brother's size, I don't know. His pants are too big, didn't have a belt. And, I mean, can you just picture this in your mind? He was trying to run with his friends. His friends were running. And so I saw him take off running. Poor guy had a trouble running. Can you imagine that? Baggy pants, no belt, and he's trying to, you know, he couldn't keep up with his friends. I mean, would you like to take him to battle? Have him be one of the guys on your right hand or on your left hand to go fight with? He's, you know, always trying to, you know, get it rearranged. And I mean, he just, you know, he couldn't run. He couldn't be, you know, put on the belt first. You know, get the belt. Put the belt on. That's the first thing, the belt of truth. And, you know, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time on the significance of a belt, because I think he could have had a firefighter. If he was attached to a firefighter, he would have said, you know, he would have said the same thing. You know, he'd look at this firefighter and he'd probably make connections somehow. I think he would. Do you believe that? I don't know. This was inspired, though. I mean, God had a soldier right there. He said, put on the belt. That keeps everything together. It gives you freedom. The belt of truth. Put that on. And, you know, it gives us freedom. The truth will set us free. And we're free to fight. So first, put the belt on. That's the first thing. And then, secondly, look at verse 14. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Gird truth around your waist. Having the breastplate of righteousness. Now, the breastplate was kind of a woven chain, a kind of metal that would protect your organs. You know, protect your heart, protect the front of you. So as you're in battle, and what if you're in hand-to-hand combat, what does the enemy look for? If you're fighting and you've got a sword and you're in hand-to-hand combat, what does the enemy look for? He looks for little openings. You know, if there's a little opening. I mean, if you... And this is to protect you. You know, I mean, he can try to pierce your breastplate, but it won't work. But if there's little openings. And you know, that's what Satan looks for, too. Satan looks for little openings. If you get little openings that's not righteous... If we can call that sin, little sins, and Satan could get a foothold, or he can get start a beachhead right in that area, and then he can cause damage. You know, we want to put on the breastplate of righteousness. We want to walk right. We want to do what's right. And Satan, like I said, Satan wants to see if he can get started with those little sins, and you know that can pierce through and cause damage. So first, we put on the belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, then three, the third thing that we put on, verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How important are good shoes if you're going to battle? It's very important. Very important to have good shoes. How many days till Washington's birthday, General Washington? Isn't it 12 days till his birthday? February 22nd. And I think February 22nd is his birthday. And I used to love to show the movie of George Washington, the Nest video of George Washington at school. And I just, it makes me sad to think about this, but his troops would march in the Revolutionary War, and their shoes, they didn't have shoes. And they'd leave a bloody trail as they walked. I mean, can you imagine? In the cold, and you're no shoes, and you're walking. Here, Paul says, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And that's so important, you know, that we have our feet shod with the gospel of peace. And I think that the gospel of peace is a peace that we have. And I love the question we ask as we have baptisms. Are you at peace with God, and are you at peace with man? And that's so important that we walk with the gospel of peace. Peace with God and peace with man. So we put the proper shoes on, and then above all, the word above all means in addition. You know, it's not like the shield of faith is the most important. It's just an important part of the equipment. Look at verse 16. Above all, or in addition to the others, put on the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked. The shield of faith was just a large shield that you could hide behind, like 4.5 feet wide, four and a half feet tall and about 2.5 feet wide. And you could hide behind that shield. You could get down, and it would protect you from the darts of the enemy. So you take that shield of faith, and it says you're able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And you know, that temptation comes when, you know what, Satan tries to get us to mistrust God. You know, Satan tries to get, you know, God, that's not true. He wants us to mistrust God. He shoots those fiery darts at us. And we need to take that shield of faith. And it's by faith. We live by faith. You know, but Satan attacks our faith in God. Satan wants to discourage our faith in God, our trust in God. And if he can do that, it'll get through to us. You know, and as we think about that, you know, we think about God's sovereignty and God's rule. And I go back to Stonewall Jackson just as an illustration. And he says, you know, he trusts the sovereignty of God. The men around him says, why are you so brave, and why are you so courageous? He says, whether I'm in the battlefield, or whether I'm in bed, he says, I trust the sovereignty of God. But Satan tries to destroy that. You know, that trust that God is in control, that God is sovereign. But we take the shield of faith. It's by faith. We live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Okay, the shield of faith. We've got two more, verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. But let's talk about the helmet of salvation. You remember, and when I think about putting on the helmet of salvation, and I think about trying to get I'm thinking about the plastic helmet that our kids have when they, you know, the armor of God that you buy for little kids, and the helmet of salvation. They get a little bigger. First it fits on their head just really nice. Then the next year they try to put it on, and it smashes their ears, and it, you know, smashes their eyes, and doesn't quite fit quite right. You know, but you put that helmet on, if it fits right, it's pretty nice. A helmet is pretty nice. But if it's, you know, if it doesn't fit very well, it's not very nice. But what I like to think about a helmet is tucking verses of Scripture up in your helmet. Little verses of Scripture. Now think about that. Who did that in history? Who put paper up in their hat and put their hat on? His birthday's in 2 days. Sure he did. Yeah, he put paper up there and put his big hat on. But listen, I think this is, to me, this is important because it's a helmet of salvation. Satan likes to get us to doubt our salvation. Satan likes to come and say, oh, you think you're saved? Are you really saved? But in your helmet, guess what you've got to tuck? You've got to tuck the Word of God up there. Put the Word of God, put the Word of God, put the Word of God, and put your helmet on. The helmet of salvation. It's got, it protects your head, but in there, there's got to be verses. Now, give me five verses that talk about salvation to you, that you tuck up in your head, up in your helmet. Five verses. Give me five. And you know, brethren, I think we should have five. I think five should come to our mind. I don't think we should have to look in our Bible. They've got to come to our mind, or Satan will attack. That's an area Satan will attack. He'll attack. And he does today. You know, I think of the convert class, and I think of the young people go to the convert class, and then the young group, you know, as they attend those classes. It's so important that they get those verses up in their mind, because Satan will come and attack. Satan will throw darts, and he'll try to attack our helmet of salvation. Have you ever had doubts about your salvation? I think we all have at times. What do? You put on the helmet of salvation, and you tuck verses, five verses up in there. Do you want five verses? I mean, you probably got five verses, but I don't know. The first verse I like is 1 John 5, 11 and 12. It says, "He that hath a son hath life." Great verse. "He that hath a son hath life." I have the son. I have life. I'm going to tuck that up in there. What's another? John 3:16. "For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." I mean, I'm going to tuck it up in there with my helmet of salvation. What's another? John 1:12. "But as many as received him," and I have, "but as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the son," the power to become the sons of God, or the right, or the privilege to become sons of God. Okay, how about Ephesians 2:8-9? "For by grace are you saved through faith." Tuck it up there. "And not of yourselves." It's a gift of God. Thanks, God. Thanks for that gift. It's a gift of God. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." That's an important one to tuck up in your mind. What's another? I made a list. I was okay. Philippians 1:6. "He that hath begun a good work in you, he's going to perform it until the day of Christ, until Jesus comes back. He that hath begun a good work in you," he's going to put those verses up in your helmet. Put the helmet on and be victorious, because Satan will come and attack. And I think that's the best way we can do that. In fact, that leads right in the last verse is not the most, or the last piece of equipment is not the most important, but it's really critical. Please, please listen to what I'm saying now. Okay, "And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, this is a small weapon. And it's smaller. I envision the bigger, the better. You know, I envision this long, long sword. But it makes sense. They said the longest was about 18 inches. You know? But I think a smaller sword, you'd be a lot quicker with. The longer sword, you know, takes, you know, you get a lot more energy, and you got more leverage, but it just takes so long, you'd be dead four times. Oh, sorry. You know, I was ready to get him, but I couldn't get it around. They get you. Satan would get you. So this sword is about maximum 18 inches long. And boy, you'd be quick with that sword. And what is that sword? The sword, which is the Word of God. Now, look at the word "word." And now we're going to talk a little bit about this. And please listen carefully to this. Or listen, I'll tell you this. If you want to zone out, go to get your Vines Expository Dictionary of the New Testament. Okay? Get your Vines out. You all got a Vines on the shelf somewhere. Because you were given one in 11th grade when you went through school, Sunday school. You've got one at home. Get your Vines out and look up under the word "word," W-O-R-D. Look under the word "word." Go to page 1253, 1,200. Go to 1,253 and look what Vines says. This is really important. And if you forget it, go to look Vines tonight, okay? Look it up. It's very important. Listen to what it says. The Greek word is rhema, I think. That's how I say it. How do you pronounce it? Rhema. Rhema? 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 And it's distinct from logos, which is the whole scripture. It doesn't mean the whole scripture. It doesn't mean the whole word of God. It means a specific passage. And it's exemplified in the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is not a reference to the whole Bible as such, but to individual scriptures which the Spirit brings to our remembrance. The Spirit brings to our remembrance in the time of need. That is so important. The Spirit will bring to remembrance in our time of need different rhemas of Scripture. Now, why is that important? That is important. That is very important. Listen, those are the scriptures you put in your helmet. Those are the scriptures that guide you. Now, I'm going to look back at Ephesians and I'm going to see some rhemas of scripture that God has given to me. But God can give them to the whole world. I mean, it's not like exclusive to me. It's all of us can get. This is real important. And I've been talking about this. Last week I talked about word lock. Remember word lock? You take a word and you lock it in. Okay? A word that you lock in and becomes yours. This is important. I'm telling you it's important. Because a rhema would be... I've shared a couple already. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace are you saved through faith. That's a rhema I want to keep in my mind. What is another? And he gave to some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some teachers and pastors and teachers. What's the purpose? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's our purpose up here. That's Joe's, Caleb's, mine, Greg's. That's our purpose. It's a rhema of scripture that we can take and say, I've got to do this. We've got to perfect the saints. We got it for the work of the ministry, for the edifying the body of Christ. We want to edify the body of Christ. We want people to do the work. We want the workers. You are the workers. Workers. Soldiers. Laborers. Okay? And that's a rhema I feel like God has given to me. What's another? Oh, I don't like to share this. But I will. God... Ephesians 4:26, be angry. Or, when you're angry, don't sin. I had to, in the classroom, I had to quote that verse occasionally, and a lot of times I'd forget the verse. It'd just go, you know, wouldn't be there, had no comprehension. Be angry and don't sin. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. That's a rhema. That's a word that we need to put in our hearts. I had to put in my heart. Because you know what? When those little kids, when they'd sit there and use the bathroom, you know, right? We've got a bathroom in the room. And they sit in that chair and they just wet the whole area. I just, you know, I go, oh man, not again. Be angry and don't sin. You know, you really make me upset, but you know, I'll forgive you. I don't know. Somehow, you got to get over it. Be angry. I mean, we all get angry, but don't sin. That's a rhema that we need to live by. Let me give you one more. What verse is it? 5:28. Now listen, this is a rhema that has directed my life in some ways. We need to look for rhemas. We need to get these rhemas. We need to lock them and live by them. Take this on. And I probably shouldn't even say it either, but I'm going to say it. I was hoping Edie would be in the... I told her to go to the baby room today. We were driving to church this morning. She goes, oh. She was driving. I was looking at the scripture. She goes, oh. I said, was that for you or me? She says, both of us, because you got to preach this morning. You know, she's sitting back there suffering too. I said, just go to the baby room. You don't have to worry about it. You know, it'll be fine. Just, you know. But this is the verse. And I'm not thinking of her. I'm thinking of me. I could probably get a few rhemas for her, couldn't I? Out of Ephesians 5. Sure I could. But Ephesians 5:28, husbands, if this comes out of my mouth, I'm accountable to it. But it's been part of my life. Husband, I've not always been successful, but it's my goal, okay? It's my goal. Don't expect perfection. Don't expect perfection from those our grandparents or our moms and dads when they have done all. They're not perfect, but they're still standing for Jesus. That's what we want. I'm not perfect, but I want to just keep standing for Jesus. You're not perfect, but I want you to keep standing for Jesus. I want to battle. I want to fight with you. I want to put the armor on. I want to go to battle with you. But you got to get your sword out. Come on, you know, get your sword out of your belt and let's go. You ready to go to battle? That's the word of God. And if you don't have any scriptures with you, you know, you're going to battle without your sword. I don't want to go to battle with you. Hey, Caleb, where's your sword? Oh, I left it at home. Oh, man, go home. You know, Joe's, where's your sword? Oh, it's right here. Let's go. Come on, Joe, let's go to battle. I love that thought, don't you? And all of us going to battle. I mean, we can sing some good songs about going, you know, the soldiers going to battle, going to fight, right? Okay, let me tell you, now I'll finish this verse. The verse is, husbands, love your wives as your own body. You're kidding. I have to love Edie like I love myself, because I like myself. I like to pamper myself. Ha ha. I like to rest. I like to have good food. I like to have 3 square meals a day. You know, lots of things I love about, you know. Husbands, love your wives as your own body. Now, have I always done that? No. Is that a rhema for me? Yes. Am I going to push for that until I lose my mind or die? Yes. I mean, do you see? It says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and go to battle. That is critical. That's very critical. Can I share one more thing real quick? Man, oh man. I didn't want to do this. I didn't want to run out of time. Verse 18, look at it. Now, this is our holy huddle, if you will. Okay, we got all the equipment. Now, what do we need to do? What's the first thing we need to do, guys? First thing. What's the first thing? Look at verse 18. The first thing. This is the first thing the coach or the general says. The general says, this is what we got to do, men. Don't forget to do this. Got it? Pray. Awesome. Pray. And who do you pray for? All saints. Got it? You pray for all saints. Now, the guys, I feel like we need to do that. And so last night, yesterday afternoon, I told Edie, I said, Edie, I'm going to type up a prayer list for everybody in church. She says, I don't think you can do it. I said, I think I can. She said, I'm going to jump in the shower. I said, I'll have it done before you're in the shower. And I'm a terrible typer. But I got a part done. And I typed it out and I got a list. But I'm not passing it out to you yet. But I want to pass it out to you sometime, because I want to pray. And I'm going to start looking. Start with JR. Yeah, we've got their family in there. We don't have that second row. Sorry, guys. You don't come here enough. You come here 5 Sundays in a row, we'll get you in. Got that row. You know, but listen, what does it say? What does it say? Look at it. What does Scripture say? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching unto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, we're not going to pray for Roanoke yet either. I mean, I love Roanoke. My son found a wonderful lady in Roanoke. Evan found a wonderful lady in Roanoke. We love Roanoke, but we're not going to pray for all those saints in Roanoke. We don't have time. But can we pray for all the saints in Indianapolis? I hope so. That's part of being a soldier, and I'm going way too long. One more thing. Let's see. What else do you pray? Verse 19. And for me, Paul says, pray for me. You know, my back is sore. I have terrible food. Pray for my, what else was wrong? His eyesight. Pray for my eyesight. He didn't even ask one. Now think about this. When you do prayer requests, think about this. What was his one request? This challenges me. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly. Wow. I'm asking you, if you pray, would you pray for me that I could open my mouth boldly? Would you pray for me? I love that prayer. I love that prayer. And you know what? I'm going to pray the same for you, that you may open your mouth boldly too. That's what Paul said. Look, I can't say it any other way. That I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. And where does he end? He ends with grace. He started with grace. Oh, and I love Tychicus too. Oh, Tychicus. Verse 21, look at Tychicus. He knew about everything. If you want to know my affairs, Paul said, ask Tychicus. He knows everything. And he'll make it known unto you, but you know what also he's going to do? He's going to comfort your hearts in verse 22. I like Tychicus. He's a beloved brother, a faithful minister. It ends with grace. Look at 24. Grace be unto them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. I'm sorry I went long. I was really trying to hurry it up to begin with. I didn't. Huh.
Well, thank you, Brother Ron. Good morning in the scripture. There's like five verses that I came across that I wanted to share, but I'm not going to do that now. But I still do want to share a thought here. So when we started, it said in verse 10 there, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." And when I think of when I read that verse, I think I got to be strong. I got to go influence people, right? But I thought of Joshua 1, where he talks about being strong and courageous. This is from Joshua 1:7. He says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." And then listen to this next phrase, "that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law." He's saying, be strong and courageous that you can be obedient. Obedience to the word. That's being strong and courageous. And if you read through a lot of the scripture that talks about warfare, it's talking about the internal warfare. It's about winning, right, the warfare of the spirit. And then just one more verse I want to share is from Hebrews 9. It says, it talks about how the sacrifice of bulls and goats would cleanse them. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, if the sacrificial system works, consider this, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." Right? The blood of Christ is not just something that covers our sin and allows us to go to heaven, but the blood of Christ is a quickening power. Read in Romans 8 how it's a quickening power to change our life now, right? It's not just something for the future, but it's something that gives us victory now in that war that Brother Ron was describing. So few other verses I have I'm not going to share. Talk to me after if you're curious. But what a beautiful morning in the Word. And let's sing from hymn 115 in the Zion's Harp together. Hymn 115, "The Armor of God."
Enemy with our full guide. We'd ask a brother to close in prayer and remember the food.
Heavenly Father, again we turn unto Thee in this beautiful morning. We have been fortunate enough to gather in Thy house of worship to hear the brother speak unto us. Father, we know that Thy words have been given unto him, and we have learned much in this morning about the armor, and that we hopefully are worthy to put it on. We know that there are certain steps that we have to take before we put on the armor, Father, and that is to draw closer to Thee, to repent of our sins, and be baptized. Father, we just pray now for those of the less fortunate, those that are not able to attend church. We just pray if Thou wouldst be with them also. We know that there are those that have to take care of loved ones, perhaps in nursing homes or hospitals. We just pray, Father, for them in this day also. We ask a blessing now upon the food that is prepared, that it may strengthen us until its intended use. Now go with us throughout the remainder of this day, Father. We pray for the brother in the afternoon, that Thou wouldst be with him also, that words could be spoken, that our cups could be filled. We thank Thee again in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.